Well, I want to thank the praise team for their lead in our worship. You know, I particularly like the last song that I can only imagine. It's played all over the country, perhaps all over the world many, many times. I can only imagine, because quite frankly, we can only imagine what is in store for us. And I focus on the rapture and the tribulation and in my message, and I'm thinking, even I'm assuming that those who are born again, it's more than an assumption, it's a certainty, will be raptured. And so they'll still have their imagination intact because they'll have to wait till they're raptured and they get into the presence of the Lord. But those who are not getting raptured, well, after my message, I suspect that you will now have less things that you can imagine because I'm going to tell you what they are. Because this morning's sermon title is What to Expect If You Miss the Rapture. You know, my text is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 3 to 6, and chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. They are, of course, printed in your handouts in the New King James Version, as well as the sermon outline in the back for your easy reference. You know, this morning's sermon is an alert. I'm one of those, as we should all be, as has been common throughout church history, is that everyone was to believe that his return was imminent. And every generation believed that and acted like that. They were expectant. So I too, with some of you, we fully believe that his return is imminent and his second coming is imminent. And the first phase of his second coming is the rapture. You know, we know that the children of God will be taken into the air to meet Jesus. These are those who have been born again. We have preached many times on the need to be born again. We have preached many times why it's important to be born again. And so now, since I, as some of you, are living expectantly, I guess, that the Lord will return. It'll be the rapture, then the second coming. And I believe it so much that I believe it's going to happen in my lifetime. And since I'm going to turn 80 next week, that just tells me and should tell you that if it be true that he will come in my lifetime, you don't have a whole lot of time. And so if my saying he's going to come in my lifetime, if that brings you joy, you're okay. If that brings you fear or anxiety, perhaps you should re-examine yourself. I always look to Psalm 19:14, as you are aware. But this time, Psalm 19:14 is for all of us this morning. And so, dear Lord, this morning may our thoughts and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, our first text is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 3 to 6. And I normally don't do this, but I'm going to read both texts. Matthew 24, 3 to 6 begins with 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Amen. You know, and later Jesus answers the question, who will miss or who will go in the rapture? He answers that question in a parable, which is also our text, Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. And so beginning with verse 1, it reads, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and for you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. But while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and he said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Amen. You know, Jesus gave this parable of the 10 virgins, and it was a parable to describe the professing of Christianity at the time of the rapture of the church. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17 that when Christ comes in the rapture, he will come down from the earth but will remain in the air. Listen, the rapture is the first phase of his second coming. And Jesus will come in the air, and he will take with a powerful force those who were and are born again, the true bride of Christ. And Jesus here pictures his coming for the church. As the Jewish bridegroom in those days came for the wedding party, and there will be a great supper, a great marriage supper, and the virgins, that is, the wedding attendants, must be ready for the bridegroom when he comes. It says here that five of these were wise because they took oil with lamps. Five of them were foolish because they did not have sufficient oil. They were not adequately prepared. They did not bring the oil, so when the bridegroom came, they could not have a lamp that was lit to guide them with a path on the way to the marriage feast, because that occurred at night. And the bridegroom was a long time in coming. In Jewish weddings, this was the normal practice. There was great suspense. You didn't know exactly when the marriage feast or the marriage ceremony was going to take place. It was kept a secret. And it was kept a secret so that there would be an element of surprise and excitement when the bridegroom came. And in our text, the bridegroom is delayed until midnight. At midnight, there is a cry. The Bible says that when Jesus comes in the air, he will come with a shout. I take this cry to represent that shout that Jesus will come when he comes for his church. You know, all of the virgins had lamps. Having lamps symbolized an outward profession of faith. But five of these virgins were foolish, because they had no oil. Listen, the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God, which resides in every believer in Jesus Christ. When you are born again, the Spirit of God makes us children of God. And those five who were foolish, you know, they wore the garments of wedding attendants. They all had the outward attire appropriate for a wedding. They went through all the motions of getting ready for the wedding, but they missed the wedding because they did not have the oil that they needed. And while they went out, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to celebrate the wedding. So it will be with professing Christianity. Here the Bible is saying that many other people on earth will not possess the oil of the Holy Spirit, will not be truly converted, will not be truly born again, and therefore will not be ready when he comes. And he will say to them, truly, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. And the door will be shut. Now perhaps you are a professing Christian who believes intellectually in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a Catholic, a Baptist, a Methodist, Presbyterian, or Assembly of God. But the Spirit of God has never come to live in your life. You profess Him outwardly, but you do not possess Him inwardly. You have never actually invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You're not truly born again by the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, there will be many like you when He comes. Matthew 7, 22 and 23 states, Many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name, cast out demons in Your name, and done many wonders in Your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, you who practice lawlessness. And so you say to me and others today that you know Jesus. But the real issue is, does Jesus know you? Are you one with Jesus Christ? Has He come to live in your heart, in your life? Have you surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His Lordship? You know, there are many Sunday attenders who have gone through all the motions, who are members of the church, who have the lamp of Christianity, that is the outward appearance of possessing Christ, but do not have the oil of the Holy Spirit. They have not been born again. They will be left behind. And if this happens to you, here are some things for you to understand and to remember. Consider A in your outline. If you miss the rapture, don't try to explain it away. And listen, in this section A, I add my own thoughts to the biblical account, just so you know. So when you find yourself left behind, the world is going to be in confusion. First, I believe there's going to be fires, disasters. Some pilots will be raptured. Therefore, airplane crashes, automobile crashes, and shortage on the police force, for example. There will be a shortage of workers throughout all the earth. There will be chaos. The government will come on television and say that the FBI and the CIA and all the federal agencies are studying the situation to try to determine what exactly happened. And if you are left behind, don't try to explain it away. Don't listen to some of the most ridiculous explanations that will be given by our government as to why millions and millions of people have suddenly disappeared from this planet. But I know they're going to have. Some scientists will come on television and they will tell the world something like this. We have had secret studies of UFOs for many, many years. We know that in times past there have been people who have disappeared and they have never been heard of again. We believe we have scientific evidence to prove that these millions of people who disappeared, it was because of a UFOs from other planets came and pulled them and took them away to other solar structures. That may sound ridiculous to some, but it's really not that incredible when you think the world will have to explain why so many people are missing. And listen, you're also going to have some theologians who come, and they will say something like this. We know that most of the people who are gone are people who were fanatical about the Bible. They were the people who believed the Bible was the Word of God. There were people who said everybody else was wrong and that you have to come through Christ. We believe that God has judged them. We believe that God has finally gotten fed up with them, with all these fanatical fundamentalists, those narrow-minded people. They were the people who believed you had to be born again. They were the people who believed that Jesus was the only way. Somehow God has judged them and rid this world of their presence. I want to tell you, when all these things start, don't you believe it? You're in trouble enough as it is because you have insulted the Holy Spirit. You have despised the gospel of Jesus Christ and turned your back on the love of God and His wonderful grace. And now You have been left behind. Don't compound your problems by listening to all the delusion that the Antichrist is going to put out. If you miss the rapture, don't try to explain it away. Secondly, in your outline, consider B. If you miss the rapture, don't look for any true Christians. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 states, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul said, God did not appoint us to suffer the wrath of the tribulation. He didn't appoint us to suffer all the trials, heartaches, and sorrows that are going to come on this world. He appointed us to salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So don't look for any born-again believers that can tell you more about Jesus Christ. They're all gone. Yes, there will be a church left, but it will not be preaching the gospel. The church will be a liberal church. We already have so many of them. The church will fill the pulpit with a liberal pastor who will preach what the Antichrist wants him to preach. He will be the vehicle by which the Antichrist can control the world. And don't forget, one of the goals is to have one religion for the world. But God will have his messengers. He will have his witnesses. He will have the 144,000 and the two special witnesses of Revelation 11. God will send an angel to preach the everlasting gospel, Revelation 14. But it won't be like it is today. You won't be able to go down to your local church and hear the man of God open the word of God and preach the Christ of God and give the invitation of God. No, it's going to be way different in that day and in that hour. So don't look for the kind of Christians that you can see today. They will be gone to glory. They will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. They were ready and they went in with him into the marriage feast. Consider third, C, in your outline. If you miss the rapture, don't take the mark of the beast. Don't take the mark of the beast. In those days, the world will be under the control of a mighty dictator. He will be Satan's Superman. And the world will think that he is the greatest thing that has ever happened. The world will think that he's got all the charisma and all the wisdom and all the ability of all the greatest diplomats in history all rolled up into one man. He will unite the world. He will bring peace where there is chaos. He will have the answer to all the political problems, and he will have the answer to the racial problems that we all experience. And he will produce a universal peace. But it is a counterfeit peace. Then, when people start thinking that he is the Messiah, he will plunge the world into a horrible Holocaust. And in Revelation 9, the Bible talks about one judgment of God. One third of the population of the world, 2.5 billion people, will die and are destroyed. In Revelation 8, one third of the vegetation of the earth is burned up, and one third of the life in the sea is contaminated and polluted until the ecology is suffering like it has never suffered before. And judgment after judgment will come, and the most severe of all will be the way the Antichrist will control the mind and will of every single person. You know, those who are in America, who are left behind, if they are left behind after the rapture, they will suffer the greatest. Because we've always been a freedom-loving people. We've always cherished individual rights. But in that day, there will be no individual rights. He will control the world through modern technology, the barcode, and computer chips. You know, in Revelation 13, the Bible says that he will require every individual in the world to show their allegiance to him by taking a mark, 666. And through this mark, you can buy and sell, but without it, you can't buy goods. If you have the mark, you can have a job. But without it, you can't make a living. If you have the mark, you will be spared. But if you don't have it, the Bible says that you will be executed and killed. Can you imagine? Just imagine what it's going to be like for people, for a person to have been left behind. And you say, well, I won't take the mark of the beast. Because if I take the mark, it means I am rejecting Christ. So my only hope is not to take the mark. But without the mark, you cannot get food. You can't get a job. And you have no rights. And through this mark or this ID number, the Antichrist can monitor every movement of every person. We do that with cattle. By putting a chip in their ear, you can monitor where they're moving. You can even monitor their weight from a satellite. If this can be done with cattle, then surely the Antichrist will be able to take that kind of technology and put a microchip into a person's hand or a forehead or use some kind of barcode that is invisible to the eye and be able to tell whether or not you are loyal to him. You can see very well today how that could happen and how it's going to take place. So don't take the mark of the beast, because to do so will ultimately condemn you to hell. Listen, I can see them coming to your homes. And they give you two choices. You can accept the mark of the beast and swear allegiance to him, or you can choose death and be executed. That brings me to D of your outline. If you miss the rapture, don't expect to escape a martyr's death. Revelation 7:14 states, and he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They were beheaded for the testimony of Christ and for the word of God. Now here are some people who said, I will not take the mark of the beast. We believe he is the devil. We believe he is the Antichrist. We won't do it. John, the apostle and writer, sees them in heaven because their bodies have been killed for the faith. He believes that their spirits have gone to be in the presence of God. And he says plainly, they are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. You know, the 7-year period of time, the last 3.5 years will be the most intense. That is the great tribulation. And every person who does not take the mark must give his life in order to be saved. We had an example of this back in the first century with the Romans. During the Roman Empire, the Romans began to persecute the church. And of course, Caesar claimed to be deity. And they found out very quickly that they could always get the Christians where they wanted them by only asking them to confess Caesar was Lord. And all they had to do was take a little bit of incense, sprinkle it on Caesar's statue, and say, Caesar is Lord. Not difficult. The soldier would say, Christians bow and say, Caesar is Lord. Some Christians wouldn't do that, but not all. Some Christians would bow their head and say, no, I can't say that. Jesus alone is Lord. These are born-again Christians. So the true Christians would be destroyed in all kinds of despicable and painful ways. And they would be covered with oil while alive and then put up in a pole and lit on fire to light Nehru's garden. They were put in the arena with the wild beasts or in the arena with the gladiators and said, go fight. So if you are left behind after the rapture, don't expect to escape a martyr's death to be saved. First century Christians didn't do it, and neither will you. You know, there's always people who say, well, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm born again. I hope I am, but I do have some things that I have to do with my life. I want to live the way I want. But I believe that if Jesus comes and I am left behind, I will be able to reject the mark of the beast. What? What is going to make you such a hero all of a sudden? What is going to give you such courage if you can't come and say that you might not be born again when the church is here for you, when friends love you, and when people will cheer you on when you finally do come to salvation and giving your life to the Lord Jesus? What makes you think that in that day, in that hour, that you'll be willing to die for the cause of Christ and shed your blood? If you can't come now, when God's Spirit is speaking to you and when God's people love you and where nobody will persecute you for giving your life to Christ, what makes you think that during the tribulation you will be willing to die a martyr's death in order to become a Christian? Then also consider E at this time. If you miss the rapture, don't expect any help from God. I am thankful that we live in the day of grace, and I can preach that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. I'm thankful that God is listening. He's waiting for you to say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I accept the gift of salvation. Revelation 6:16 says, the day is going to come when people will call for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the wrath of God. Listen, the day is coming when people will call upon God and He will not hear them. I say to you that after you study what God says in the New Testament about the rapture of the church and about tribulation time, if I were you, I wouldn't bet my life that you would be saved after Jesus comes in the rapture. I wouldn't bet eternity that you would have a second chance. You know, some of the best Bible scholars I know seem to believe that if you've heard the gospel and have been convicted by the Holy Spirit, if you've had an opportunity to be saved and you reject Jesus, the Bible is heavily weighed toward the fact that you will never have another chance. And listen, when the tribulation is raging, when there is pestilence across the earth, and when the sky and the stars are falling from the heavens, when the sun turns to darkness and the moon turns to blood, when the mountains are removed out of their place and the islands are sunk into the ocean, don't expect a call from God. Proverbs 1:28 and 29 states, then they will call out to me, and I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. God is a God of love, God of mercy, God of grace. But He's also a God of wrath. He is a God who has to judge sin. Do you think God would let His Son take your sin on the cross and see you trample on the blood of His Son and reject His salvation? Less than full acceptance is rejection of the salvation that Christ offers. And then, when you miss the rapture and get into the tribulation, you think He's going to allow you to call upon Him? God said, in that day I will not hear. It will be too late. And that is why it is so important to come now. You know, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. If I could just bring one person back from hell, he would tell you, don't wait. Give your life to Christ. Don't bet on another chance. If I could grab someone from the future who missed the tribulation, who missed the rapture, and bring him back, he would say, don't miss the rapture. Be sure to have your oil. Be sure that you have accepted and you're ready for the bridegroom when he comes. Amen. Well, service is over. And as you leave this place, plan on a time of self-examination. And don't rise from your knees until you have made it right with God. Amen. See you all next week.